You know, like the first comedy show will be 10 o'clock to 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And there's one 11:15 to 12:15, and it just goes all day.
Yeah.
So you're doing a show sometimes at 7 p.m. to a wet audience that's come in out of the rain, because the Scottish people, they don't take umbrellas or anything like that. They just fucking, they just live in the shit.
Yeah, like Braveheart.
They just live in the rain.
I am not a fool. What's up? Welcome to Standby Podcast with Francisco Ramos and JJ Whitehead.
I'm sending our story.
They're sending our story back.
Social media.
We're recording and doing live stuff at the same time.
Do you know that your sunglasses are still on?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because you know why, guys? Because it's like we're you know, summer vacation, right? That's in summer vacation.
Francisco's just come from the beach, everybody. He's very much in beach mode. You can't see these legs, he's got his stems out.
I got the shorties. What's it called now? You know, like now, before, I don't know, when I was growing up, before the thing was like the board, like surfboards kind of like look, you
short
know, like shortboards, oh, like yeah, long to the knees.
Basketball as well.
Basketball,
everything was down to the knees.
Down to the knees. But now, like, it's going back where, like, now you got to show some thigh. You know what I mean? Like it's got to be like, it's not like Speedos, but you got to show some thigh. You know? So, I don't know. Have you bought, because these are new. These are new ones.
Yeah, I do. I have.
You bought the shorty ones?
I've got, yeah, shorter shorts as well, because I got sexy legs too, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I got them basketball legs. Why didn't I know?
Wait, what are the basketball legs?
Just from, they're strong.
What the fuck?
You don't know what basketball legs are?
No, but you're saying, I don't know what they look like. I'm compared from different other legs.
Oh, come on, you're hitting on my legs all the time. No, come on, buddy.
I never seen your legs.
You can share that with the public out there. Jay, you and your legs.
You ride an electric bicycle. Like, you're not working on your legs.
That's, all right, you really think the bike does all the work for me, don't you?
Yeah.
Dude, my legs got muscle memory, motherfucker.
Dude.
My legs are one of my best assets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it ain't my chest. I'll tell you that.
So do girls do actually tell you that? Like, hey, I love your legs?
Yeah, girls like my legs, yeah.
Really? They say that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I never get complimented on anything else. Don't you worry. No girl's ever been like, Jay, your pecs.
No?
Yeah, no, just the legs.
Wow.
That's it. It's all I got.
That's weird.
If only I could have those as like my passport picture.
Just your legs?
Yeah, well, look at these puppies.
Wow. All right.
I'm going to send it. It's taking me
forever. Yeah, it's taking forever.
Like,
but
okay, I'll just do it.
You were right. I am coming from the beach here in L.A. We went to Malibu for a little bit. That's the cool thing about L.A., especially in the summer, where you can just go literally any day if you have like a little quick break, just to, especially during the week when there's not that many people. So it's like nice and chill vibe. You know, that's the cool things that you can do in LA, like in traveling wise. You know, it's like.
But then you have to sit in that traffic.
Well, yeah, the traffic is the one that. So you gotta if you think that you're leaving early, then it's not. You know what I mean?
I have a slightly like traumatic memory of like one of my, like a fantastic woman that was in my life for a little while, but she did not enjoy Los Angeles, right? So she didn't like it, which is very...
Wait, who was she again?
So my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She didn't like...
We'll protect her anonymity, but she was a lot of, you know, a lot of fun.
She wasn't
great
from here.
Being, I'm confident that if I didn't live in LA, we'd probably still be dating.
Where was she from?
She was from Canada.
Oh, okay.
And then and we were dating a while, and then she came here to LA with me, and it was this day at the beach, right? Which was the best of times, and then it was the worst of times.
Or was it the best of tides or the worst of tides?
Oh wow, you got beach brain.
Yeah.
Francisco's got beach brain. He's gonna be coming in with the puns now. And no, I guess quite simply put, we had an awesome day at the beach. But she wasn't ready for the sitting in traffic for 2 hours to come back from the beach.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and she's getting tired, and like a lot of people do when they get tired and stuff, they get a bit snippy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's literally in my car going, this fucking hellscape. wow. of Los Angeles. This is a fucking hellscape. And I'm like, calm down, babe. We've got a sunroof.
Yeah.
We got water. We just spent the whole day at the beach. Yeah. Lovely. And she's like, this place is hell. And I was like, oh God. I just need you to, I need you to think of the things that you enjoy in life so that we can go forward. But you know what? It's because it's not for everybody.
Now, let me ask you, when you're arguing like that, is that how you act? Like you said, the girl, you know, you're doing that and you still go like, but you know, do you do that? Or do you go like, hey, shut the fuck up? Or like, hey.
No, I think I'm like that for the first hour and a half of the argument.
Okay.
And then probably in the last half hour, I'm probably just like, we're almost fucking at home, okay? Shut up. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I want to see when does that come in? Because everybody, man or woman, has their...
Yeah.
Like little, like, some people are really quick. Other ones is like, okay, because, like, yeah, you're trying to diffuse a situation, but you also, but then at one point you're going to be like, all right, just shut the fuck up. You know,
yeah. No, I do my best because I know what I am. I don't know if you're this as well, but as comics, I find sometimes in order for us to find the funny, we do end up freaking out about things that aren't important.
Yes.
But it's how we can find the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a partner or a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. We need that understands that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That when we're all of a sudden just going, oh, and then the fucking parking space and this happened. And then they have to be able to go, okay, it was just a parking space.
Exactly.
And you're like, I'm trying to find the funny.
Yeah,
this is the fucking process.
Yeah, yeah.
So because we have to do that all the time, I think it's important that as comedians, we're kinder to our girlfriends when they're freaking out.
Yeah, that's true.
Go, all right. We get it. You're going to pay this back to me when I'm going crazy then about a shirt ripping or something.
Because I think the mistake then is doing the stuff as a comic that can do be like, this is like you're crying about that, or like you're complaining about that. It's like,
yeah,
but like you said, it's like, yeah, but you were also complaining about something small that for you is big, or for the other person is small, and vice versa. For you, it might seem like,
yeah,
I don't care about that, but for that person, it's like it's knowing that, and I think that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a two-way street.
Reminding yourself,
of like, all right, I guess I gotta tolerate. Although I do it for my job.
Yeah.
So that's always my excuse. You know, why were you freaking out?
Well, my thing is like
weather?
What I get in trouble with sometimes, with like, you know, relationships or, you know, even friendships too. It's like, is the making joke where we joke too much, or where we joke stuff about, like, because, with comics, there's no line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there's literally no line. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, too. You mean, like, when we're workshopping ideas.
No. It's like when you're joking, or, like, you're with friends, you know, and you're joking about something, and then you're everybody's, you know, making fun of, your share, whatever, and then I come in and I say something, like, that I think it's funny, but then it's, like, it's way too much. It's like, dude, you're not, they take it, like it's not, like, dude, that's not funny, you know?
And we're like...
But as a comic, there's no line. Like, I was disrespectful, or I said something that wasn't. It's like, that's too much. You know what I mean? You know, with comics, you don't do that. You know what I mean?
Do you have... Yeah, totally. With comics, and it's not just because everybody has tougher skin or whatever, but we always give people the benefit of the doubt, really. Mm-hmm. We know when we're in a verbal conflict.
Yeah.
But we know that around comics, even if something that could be on paper, if you read these words on paper, they would be mean.
Yeah.
But if our fellow comics say to us, we're okay with it.
Do you
have a saying or anything that you've ever tried on a friend or a girlfriend and they've taken it way, like, the wrong way?
Like a saying? What do you mean?
Yeah, I do. Okay, I can give you an example. There's a saying that I've used a lot, and amongst my comedy friends, it's usually a hit. It usually works amongst comedy friends, especially if I haven't used it before, if I'm around comedians and work for the weekend. But if a comedian says something about what he wants to do for the weekend or whatever, what are you going to do while we're hanging out in Kansas this weekend? And a comedian says, I really want to try a cheeseburger at this cheeseburger place I heard about, then I always like to go, we've all got dreams, Gary. You know, I like to hit with that. And that usually, we've all got dreams.
It usually
gets a little laugh and loosens everybody up. And I do have, I did try that. I did do it on a girlfriend once and never lived it down to the day that we broke up.
Yeah,
because she said, I really want to come and see you perform some night, and I went, we've all had dreams, Cindy, and she did not. She's like, what do you mean? What are you talking? And she never let it go. It came, and then she misused it in the few. She's like, you know, I'm like, ah, fuck, I stubbed my toe.
You gave up her dreams.
And no, like, or if I stubbed my toe or something, she's like, well, we've all got dreams. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. It's like, I don't mind that you use it. It's just you're not using it correctly.
You gotta use it correctly. But
it's
kind of
like when people make jokes that are kind of they're like racist or kind of like putting something down or whatever. It's kind of like, if you're gonna do that, make it funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I get more pissed about it. It's like,
if you're gonna be racist, make it funny.
Like, I'm getting more pissed about it. Like, that's just, I wouldn't mind if it's racist if it's funny, but it's like, this shit isn't even funny. Like, that's just dumb racist joke or a comment. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're gonna come with one, because I get those. I remember getting those kind of things, like when I did one cruise, you know, and like the people after the show, especially the older.
What do you think of doing cruises? Do you find it easy or hard?
It's my least thing that I like to do.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's very hard for me because I just don't like the staying in one place and can't leave. It's kind of like prison.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, and you see the same people all the time. You know, I'm like, no, I like performing and, you know, and then heading to the next, or new people come in. But, like, people come in and you get, and they know they've seen you, like, three times. And then you're having lunch and you, somebody, hey, and then they come up to you to try jokes. I was like, nah, I'm...
You're right. Oh, yeah, there's no escape, is there? When you do a cruise, you can't fucking... Yeah, even if you go to your bunk,
you still gotta walk past people. Yes, and you still gotta go eat. So it's like, they're not bringing you. So that's the thing. That's just... And also, like... And then in terms of comedy, I feel like you can't advance as a comedian there. Like, you get... Because you have to do the bits that work in that situation.
Yeah.
And those bits are... making fun of the cruise, you know, or talking about the stuff, and it's got to be very clean because you get kids in there, and it's kind of
you get locked in.
You get locked in,
dude. I saw a magician once at the Magic Castle, and he had obviously been doing the cruises for years because he said it during his act. So he was doing his magic act, and I mean, you're at the Magic Castle, which is the most, I think, I'm not a magician, but I would say it's the most prestigious,
it's like performing at the Comedy Store
that they can get, right? Yeah. So, huge moment for him, and I'm sure he was proud, but he's obviously somewhat on automatic drive, because he actually said, and I've been performing here for Carnival Cruises for two decades now, and I absolutely love Carnival, and he just kept talking.
The machine was on so
much Carnival Cruise rhetoric, and we're all looking at each other going, dude, you're at the Magic Castle, holy shit, which is, so I was going to say, I understand how... You can see it as that bubble
Did he do this? It's like, and then Carnival Cruise, because then and just fucking shot him.
When he picks this moment to commit suicide?
Wow, like Black Swan.
I've never seen Black Swan, but now that I know that it's got a suicide.
But he kills himself. But
I thought it was just two evil swans.
No.
Two dancers going at it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's a split personality.
Oh, is that the twist?
Yeah.
Did you just spoil the whole movie? Maybe. That I'm never going to watch for me.
Sorry, are you going to rent it? You know. Are you going to rent it? I even said, not even rent it. Download it, because you're going to go to a trip in... you're leaving to London.
I am, yeah.
For shows or vacation or both.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Shows, yeah. Yeah. So I got about, I think it's something like 29 shows in 37 days.
Wow. So like those shows, because it's like, just to make it understand, are you just doing spots in clubs, or are you headline, like when you go here, like I'm going to headline, you know, Dallas.
Funny thing about, I think about British comedy is that I actually don't know if I'm headlining a lot of these gigs. Like, some of them I do know that I am headlining. If they're smaller, like the smaller weeknight gigs, I'll be headlining and stuff. But on the weekends, I haven't even asked, because it's not a thing that you're after in Britain either. I'm not like, because often they have an attitude, Everybody on the bill is a headliner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
a headliner. So whichever four comics, you know, it's generally four comics that I'll be on with, say, in my first weekend is in Cardiff.
Okay.
Which I'm slightly intimidated about.
Because, why?
Well, I would say I'm there for 5 weekends, and the toughest club, in my opinion, the first one I'm doing. Ooh. Cardiff Glee Club in Wales,
Why is that tough?
I've always found it, I've always found them, they're a party crowd.
Yeah.
They're partying, and this is, they'll be really drunk, partying hard. It's about 350, 400 people strong. And Welsh people, when they're in party mode, you really gotta grab their attention.
Yeah,
hit it fast. And there's little things too, like the last time I played the Cardiff Glee, probably about 3 years ago, I think. There was like celebrity boxers in because they had like the world featherweight champion or whatever.
Yeah.
He was like in the sixth row. Like I could see him, you know?
Wow.
And I talked with him a little bit until I felt like, made it funny that, oh, fuck, I better not overstep. Who else wants to talk to me?
Yeah.
Kind of shit like that. So there's a little bit, you know, you're in the capital of Wales. And so there's a couple of Welsh, celebrity. Mm. It's a deep end club, but that's what I would say. I haven't asked if I'm headlining or not, and I would imagine in Cardiff they haven't seen me for a couple of years, so I'll probably be on in the middle or something or first.
So how long are those sets?
20 to 25 minutes is what you have to do.
And then in terms of like obviously you have to.
But when you're headlining in the smaller clubs, they'll ask you, especially since Edinburgh Festival is coming, and the shows for the Edinburgh Festival are like 50 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, it's preview season. So if I do a preview, I'm not doing the Edinburgh Festival this year, but I am going to do a couple preview slots just to do it. So those will be full hour long shows. But yeah, club night, which is different than America, isn't it? Because clubs in America, the headliner is 45 minutes. And the show is 90 minutes
unless
straight
you're
through.
Like here in LA or New York where like there's headliners, you know, each.
Yeah.
But like they don't do as long. They're like more like, it's like more like 10 in the show. And so everybody does like 10 or 15 at most.
All the support acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all that. Like here, like at the store when
everybody's got to do that hot 10.
Yeah.
The general way it goes is a host, which is a really important role in Britain. I think it's more important than Britain.
Oh, so the host. You have a host. Okay.
Yeah, you get a host. And this is at the clubs, right? Weekend clubs. Mm-hmm. So we're talking...
Like the one you're doing in Wales.
These Glee, they're called the Glee Clubs, are the chain. It'll be a host, a very skilled host, I imagine. I've got my fingers crossed that it'll be John Hastings, who was our guest on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He's over there, and he's on with me in Cardiff.
Oh.
And I know he's got the hosting chops.
Okay.
I mean, I could be the host, but I don't think I am. He'll generally do 10 minutes, whip them into shape, get them all honed, and then he introduces the first act.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that first act does 20 to 25 minutes, there's a break.
Mm.
There's literally a break. There's no table service or anything, but at the break, everybody gets up from the tables and goes to the bar, goes and orders food, and they all do that. That break's about 15 minutes. Then they'll hit the lights and send the audience a signal to get back in their seats. Everybody gets back in. Then Hastings. I'm suggesting Hastings. I don't know, but Hastings would come back out. He'll do probably 7 minutes, get them all centered again, and bring on the second act, who does 20 to 25, and then another break. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody gets too much alcohol because they're British.
Wow.
You know, this is why you end up with British people, because they close the bar during the show.
Yeah.
But it's open during the breaks.
Yeah.
So everybody comes back with like 3 beers and stuff, and they'll sit there with their beers. And then that's the same thing. And then the third section will come, and that's when, you know, it depends. Often he'll be introduced as the final act of the night, but I guess technically this is your headliner.
Yeah.
And they'll do their own 20 to 25 or if they're having a real good time. That's the prestige of going on very last, is that you can, push.
You can run a little bit without
pissing people off too much.
But,
you know, show managers will be there looking at the watch because British people are not addicted to comedy. They're addicted to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer you're on stage, the more they're losing.
Yeah.
And that's generally how it works, yeah.
And then, like, in terms of payments, like, how is it, you can, like, if you do, like, for example, if I want to go do a run like you're doing,
Yeah.
Do those shows support would pay for basically the going there, or is that like, or you're like, nah.
I think, well, last time I went over, I did 3 months,
yeah,
which I felt like too long.
That's a lot, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about like you're doing like 2 weeks,
so this
for example.
Time I'm doing 5 weeks,
or 5 weeks, yeah.
And I do feel like the first week is to pay my bills, so the first week. And maybe bleeding a little bit into the second week, so hopefully I'll turn a profit with the last 3 weeks.
Oh, so that's good.
You know, it's not to buy food and stuff while I'm there, and those kind of things. And you never know, a weird expense might come out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I forgot that there's one club I'm doing that doesn't book hotels.
So you have to book
and,
that.
So I booked the hotels, and I hadn't factored that in. But luckily, I found a hotel that's like. Not
that crazy expensive.
Yeah, it's not going to bleed.
Yeah,
dry,
okay, so. Okay. So I get. So yeah, it makes sense. It's like you're going there and you're actually coming back with a profit. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a huge profit, but it's enough of a profit enough. That, and it also lets me be flexible while I'm there to pick up other side
got
gigs.
Got it. Yeah.
Like because the weeknight gigs make all the difference. Any touring comics out there, like those are the like if you can pick up 80 pounds on a Wednesday night. There's your meals for the week and all that kind of stuff. That goes a long ways. But it costs about $1,000 to fly over.
Yeah.
You know, $1,000 to get that plane ticket. And of course, thanks to the help of friends, you know.
You're staying in some house.
Yeah, because while I'm in London, I'm staying with friends. Saving
cash there.
So, yeah, so you save money there because no London clubs don't give you hotels. Mm-hmm. There's no... Which is probably like an LA club, right? No club in LA is gonna give a hotel. So yeah, same kind of thing in London. I'll be staying with Tiffany Stevenson,
who was one of our guests during the pandemic,
way back during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I'll be staying with her and her fella.
That's cool.
When I first get over there,
and then like I was gonna say, how do you? Because going in a trip for 5 weeks, I would like. Well, you've been to this country, but for me, like, I mean, that would be like a thing that I would be preparing like a week, 2 weeks in advance in terms of like putting like the suitcase ready and like searching shit, you know, like scenarios. Like I like when I go to big trips like that, I'm searching scenarios like I'm fucking Mission Impossible. Like if it's like, all right, if I lose my passport, like where do I go? Or like if I do this, like what happens, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, I mean... What's funny is, like, I think about that shit. If it does happen, I'm still fucked. It's not like I'm prepared that I did something different. It's just I'm like, I thought about it, but I didn't do anything about it.
It just happens, and you're like, I thought this might happen.
Yeah. But I still don't know what the fuck to do.
Well, I, especially these days, I feel like I'm super organized. I never used to be. Yeah. But since I came to America, I'm really organized because I'm on a visa now.
Mm.
So I actually take I've got this blue folder. It's my go-to folder, which has my work visa.
All your stuff.
To get back into America. It generally has my passports and all this information. So I'm actually pretty on the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm going to relax about everything else. Like I'm in Liverpool. I'm literally in Liverpool for 5 days, my second week playing this club. And I'm just like, and I know Cardiff really well, and that's where I am at first. So I'm taking Dan Bacadell. Was it Dan Bacadell? It is Dan Bacadell's advice, isn't it? When he was like on our podcast,
he
said you can buy it when you get there. Just fucking don't worry about it.
So what are you going to buy? Clothes?
I might do. I think I'm going to take I'm going to be very minimal. Mm. Two pairs of jeans, shoes, a jacket. You know, that's really fucking barely anything.
So what, you're just going to be wearing the same stuff for shows and stuff?
No, I'm going to buy some shit when I'm over there. I'm going to...
For the shows?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to have... I'll take like three options. You know, three of my... Because like I've told you before, I am a bit super... I do want...
No, you want to be comfortable wearing what you want. Like, for example, when I was doing Dominican Republic, I was like, I wanted to wear other stuff, but I was like, I got to wear this black shirt... Because it's hot, it's outside, and if I'm sweating, I don't want to be thinking that the sweat's showing or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, fuck it, you know. I have some stuff that I'm like, okay, I have to wear or like just to be comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, I'm gonna be pretty minimal, you know. Right. And then I'm going, because it's crazy, because I'm ending in Scotland, so I'm gonna be in Glasgow and probably head up to the Edinburgh Festival at the end and. Fingers crossed for good weather, but I'll be honest, I've been to, if you've ever been to Scotland, you know, it's,
what is it?
You can be wet and then wet and then damp.
Okay.
And then wet again. And in fact, that's the.
It rains a lot.
It rains a lot, and it rains. You know, it alternates
between
raining and being really hot in the summer.
Yeah.
In fact, the crazy thing about the Edinburgh Festival is that a lot of times you're looking out at your audience, and they've been in the rain, in the Scottish summer rain, and you're in this room, and the Edinburgh rooms are kind of temporary, you know, or they are their classrooms during the year, but they've had like 10 comedy shows all day. You know, like the first comedy show will be 10 o'clock to 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And there's one 11:15 to 12:15, and it just goes all day.
Yeah.
So you're doing a show sometimes at 7 p.m. to a wet audience that's come in out of the rain, because the Scottish people, they don't take umbrellas or anything like that. They just fucking... They just live in this shit.
Yeah, like Braveheart.
Live in the rain. So you can be looking at an audience.
Like they're yelling freedom all the time. Freedom! Yeah.
Freedom from umbrellas.
Yeah.
But this is the surreal thing. You'll be looking at a damp audience, but because the room is like a sauna, because it's been in use all day during the festival, they just have steam.
Ugh.
Coming off of them. Yeah, it turns you off, doesn't it?
It's kind of, I mean, I just smell the fumes.
But if you can make damp Scotsmen laugh, you're doing fucking
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If you can make damp Scotsmen laugh, you're on to something.
All right.
Yeah.
Why, they're the toughest crowd?
Yeah, they're pretty tough. They can be pretty tough. And also because they've sat in the rain to come and see you and stuff and... You know, and where they could just stay outside at the bars. There's so many temporary bars set up around Edinburgh during the festival. Like even I'm a performer and I love the arts, but I got to admit, during the festival, even I have trouble like going in to see the shows that I planned to go see. Because the atmosphere in all these little bars is it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And in 2019, when I was over... The courtyard at the Gilded... I was performing at a place called the Gilded Balloon, which is on the university campus.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, the university's not on right now.
Yeah.
In the courtyard, this time, they had a circular bar now with a stage on top of it. So everybody's serving the bars underneath, but then they had bands, bands and rock and roll bands playing on top in this amazing atmosphere. And if it's not raining...
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, and you're out on the grass and everything, and it is very hard. It frustrated me in 2019 because I just knew my show was on at like 10:15 at night, and I'd be out in that courtyard at like 9 o'clock, 9:30, having a beer, going, how the fuck am I going to get these people to come into my show? There's like a party happening, the cover band's playing AC/DC, everybody's having a great time.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be told, like, all right, you got to go spend an hour in J.J. Whitehead's sauna now.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's usually okay. But it does feel like you got your work cut out for you because they've made that sacrifice.
Of course.
Come and see you.
It's pretty cool. It seems like you're going to have a good time, especially because you've already been there. And after the pandemic, so you got like more like, people are going to be like,
it should be really fun, man. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody as well. I was just in Britain a couple months ago, but that was for my friend's funeral.
And you're gonna,
it was quite spontaneous. And
are you gonna, bring Roe versus Wade over there or what?
Yeah, you know, right? Like that is. I was thinking that might be my opener. I haven't workshopped it yet. I haven't workshopped it yet, but now that you bring it up, I was thinking of, I think there might be a line in something of like, it's great to be back in Britain. I had to come here to get my abortion now or something. There'll be something I'll try.
Yeah.
Maybe not right away in Cardiff. I think in Cardiff, because like I said, Cardiff could be tough. I think I'll just go with my classic, openers stuff.
Now you have openers, classic openers for those cities?
If I make an observation that I remember, I've got a couple.
Got it.
I got a very specific one for Manchester.
Okay.
And, so I do have a few go-tos.
Yeah.
You know, so, should be fun.
Well, man, I'm excited to hear what are you going to do over there and stuff like that. Cause I definitely want to perform there. I want to get the...
Well, what I'm hoping, bud, is that so I'm playing the Glasgow Glee Club.
Yeah,
I love this chain. The Glee Clubs, they're my favorite.
Okay.
love them. I love the way they're organized. I love the way they're managed.
Yeah.
I love the way they run their shows. They've got this gorgeous countdown system and the lights, and it's very theatrical, and it really trains their audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how American promoters often, they don't want to have breaks. And the first reason is they'll tell you it's because we'll lose our audience.
Yeah.
Our audience won't come back. They don't know when to
come back.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because it's hard to wrap around their heads. Because they just think, oh, we're taking a 15-minute break.
A,
and
B.
We just restart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it requires, like, you take the break and your compere tells everybody this. But then when the show is going to restart in 5 minutes, the lights do come down and the music changes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the
yeah.
announcements happen and... They're kind of trained.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think, because I've tried it here in North America at some clubs when a promoter will let me,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get it. I'm explaining mm-hmm. to them, no, 5 minutes before we restart the show, we restart the atmosphere as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of them think, no, 5 seconds before we restart
yeah,
the show.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
just click everything,
yeah,
we hit the
yeah,
button,
yeah.
we restart the atmosphere.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I really love the Glees. And the last one I'm doing is in Glasgow, and then I'm going to go to Edinburgh. And I'm hoping I'll just rekindle a bunch of my friendships with promoters and stuff. Like I said, the last time I was there was in 2019. But I'll let you know, buddy, because I'm thinking of going next year.
Mm.
And maybe you could come with me. Maybe
yeah.
I'll get the lay of the land. I'll see if there's a cool new venue or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see how much it's costing everybody to get accommodation and stuff there. Because there's a lot you got to think about. When you go to Edinburgh,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you got to make posters and you got to get flyers and you got to.
Yeah, I mean, you're making like nobody pays for that if somebody else, like a promoter, doesn't pay for that, right?
No, even if you go with a big promoter, that's the thing about Edinburgh. If you go with a big promoter, your Edinburgh run can cost you like $5,000 out of the gate because
why?
Because your Edinburgh run kind of turns into a publicity stunt. You know, it turns into a showcase. Because that's why you're doing Edinburgh, right? The goal isn't to get to Edinburgh. The goal is to do Edinburgh to get recognized and to get known and to get a step up in the industry. You know, like all the work that I've done around the world is because somebody stumbled into my Edinburgh show. You know, my Australian shows and New Zealand shows, they were all because those promoters wound up at my show and then booked me to come out there afterwards.
Oh, okay.
In Sweden, so because they're all there, they're all going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how you meet them. And some people approach Edinburgh in that I'm going to spend $20,000 to make sure they see me. I'm going to have my face on a bus and I'm going to have my posters in high profile places and I'm going to hire these people to flyer for me. So they throw all kinds of money at it to get all that publicity. Sometimes it doesn't work, you know. And sometimes it does. And then the other approach is to spend barely anything, you know, to just go and get yourself a free room on the free fringe. You have to do a bucket speech at the end of your gig. Do you know what that is?
No.
So if you're on the free fringe in Edinburgh, which means you haven't paid anything for the room, they just give it to you.
Yeah.
It's probably got bad lighting. It just is what it is. But you got it for free. And people come in for free as well. So a lot of times you can fill the room because nobody's paid, but they got to pay to get out. So they don't have to pay to get in, but they pay to get out.
Why?
And you don't have to if they don't want to.
Why do you have to pay to get out?
Well, that's the idea. That's the saying.
How much?
The free French. So what you do is this thing called the bucket speech at the end. So you'll stand there. So at the end of your show, I did the free fringe in 2016. And I had a pretty good bucket speech, but you stand there in front of your crowd and you go, you know, you ask them, like, have you guys had fun? Have you had fun in the last hour with me? You know, and they're like, yeah, yeah. You know, thank you very much because I'm really happy to be here on the free fringe. You know, it's a choice I made. I've spent a lot of time at the big three venues where my tickets were like £16 to come and see me play. But I'm here on the free fringe because I wanted to bring it to you guys for, you know, the minimum. So whatever you think the show has been worth, I ask you that you put that money in my bucket. Mm. So you go ahead and pick your price and then fold up that money and, you know, but you end up and a couple of door staff will stand there at the
yeah,
gates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also sell merch. I used to, on the free friend, when I did the free friend in 2016, I said, and if you want my t-shirts or my USBs, that counts as the ticket price. You know, you just had to buy those kind of things. And the staff hold the buckets for you, or you can, and you talk to people on the way out, and they put the money that they feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're a preacher asking for money. You're a basic.
Yeah, I mean, this is why. Like, you might not. This might not appeal to you. You might be hearing this and go, "I don't want to do it," because it is hard. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
you know, and I've done it. I've done it.
Also, like when you said the bucket thing, I don't know why. It looked to me like the a porno, like just
a bucket speech.
I thought you were just saying like a bunch of. I thought you were saying like you live with people in a big ass dorm. Like for free, and then I'm thinking now you have to do a bucket thing. So I'm thinking like all the guys like
masturbating into a bucket.
Yeah.
Wow, the places your mind goes.
Like they were like it was just like a circle.
Francisco's got beach brain. Everybody, this is Francisco.
I was like, I'm not gonna do that shit, man. So yeah. I don't care how free the.
Yeah. No, dude. That's
and
generally...
then it's like, wait, you gotta come in the bucket if you want to get out of here.
That is generally how it works. But I will tell you this though, because I did the Gilded Balloon in 2019. So those were box office tickets, right? Mm-hmm. So people had to pay.
Yeah.
I think it was like £12 or whatever to come and see me. But when I did the Free Fringe in 2016, it was interesting because you hear a lot of change hitting the bottom of that bucket. Mm. So there are people sitting through your whole show and then giving you 50 cents. But I got foreign money as well.
Yeah.
So you're dumping out this bucket. It makes you feel terrible sometimes. You're dumping out this bucket backstage.
Yeah.
You're like, I just sweated my ass off for 50 people in this room.
Yeah.
And
you got like candy in there.
60 pounds. You get candy, you get receipts, you get change you don't know. And like, I was taking a bag of change to the bank every week.
Man.
I still enjoyed the Free Fringe though, because I guess that's it. I just knew I hadn't. And so it was 2016. That's when I moved here.
Mm.
So it was like the year that I moved here, I went back for the Fringe. Free Fringe. Because I was spending all my money on moving here.
Yeah.
I wasn't about to spend my money on
putting
on a show in Edinburgh. So I thought I'd try this Free Fringe thing. And that was the experience. So it's, you know, you got to choose. Spend a lot of money and get a lot of promotion, or do a Free Fringe and appreciate yourself.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. You watch. I might end up pitching something to you because I might end up going, I found this great venue on the Free Fringe.
I don't want to need no free shit, man.
All right. Well, then, I'll get you the contact for the Gilded Balloon.
Yeah, give me the Gilded Balloon.
But the thing is, you got to pay for those in advance. So the Gilded Balloon, because the Gilded Balloon in 2019 when I did it, I think I laid out about $4,000 or $5,000.
Wow!
Before I even got
over
there.
For what? As a deposit?
Yeah, you gotta do it because they have to put an advert in the Fringe brochure, and you have to pay some dues to be part of their collective, and you have to prepay for tickets and stuff, and then recoup it. So that's going. So going to these bigger, like going big. Means you got to put the money out in advance and try to recoup it.
Got it.
Whereas Free Fringe means you don't got to put out shit.
Mm.
You can show up with nothing and then everything's a profit. So
it depends on
how you feel, man.
And like
I was saying, I've been in a different mood about it every time. I tell you what, anybody who's going to the Fringe as well, I do love the Stand Comedy Club, which is where I started my career. They're not located in the main festival area. Mm-hmm. They're across town in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
But they have a great deal because they won't let their comics lose money.
Oh, that's good.
So if you have a Edinburgh show...
So if like, you got like a gambling problem, they just beat you like, you got to stop gambling.
They eat it all.
Or like if you're an alcoholic.
So those of you with problems.
If you're going to cheat her, you're like, you got to go back to your wife, all right? God damn it. You know, like...
Yeah, man. Yeah. So they're a good one. They're like 30-70 door split if that's you're good. Successful.
That's good.
Yeah. And then if you're not, then it gets even...
Yeah.
The breakdown gets even better.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. They're really good. They're really good to their comics.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So that might be a solution as well.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to hear back when we reconvene to hear what... Because you're going to definitely have a lot of travel... I mean, you're traveling.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be crazy.
See what's going to be different from after the pandemic and like...
I'm going to be on trains a lot.
Oh, so that's a thing that you've never done? The trains?
I always do trains in Britain.
Okay.
I just never do them here. We don't get to do trains in America.
Yeah, I mean, you can go like San Diego. But it doesn't make any sense.
Which
it should.
Weird.
It sucks.
completely should.
I mean, you could, you should be able to get to trains everywhere in any state.
Yeah.
Know, like, boom, like, you know.
Is that like a, is that like a car industry
thing?
Yeah,
they was.
Did the American car industry go, we got to turn, we got to create a stigma around trains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking Americans get in their cars more.
Mm-hmm.
It is, right?
Exactly. It was that. It was all the car companies that are like, yeah, we can, you know, especially here in LA, they try to like, you know, they were trying, they were going to build like a great subway system. And they're like, no, they, I don't know what did, what they did in terms of what they did, if they paid them off, whatever. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's because of that. That's why there's no good public transportation in LA. You know?
And we're finally going to have the trains finally going to go to the airport by the Olympics.
Well, they have to. Yeah. That's why they're going to have to build all that stuff because, yeah, I mean, they need to have good. But it's crazy how a huge city like this does not have good transportation.
It's insane.
I mean,
especially in America, because a lot of the other cities, when I touch down in America, I just like, because I'm usually not in the mood to talk to people and stuff, or even order a Lyft or an Uber and stand out there and stuff. Just get me on the train. Get me. Just walk. Follow the train signs. Get on that friggin' train. Buy your $3 ticket.
Yeah.
Boom. Zip into the city and then start looking at your phone to see where you're going.
Yeah.
I love that approach. You cannot do that in this town.
Yeah. No.
You cannot. You fucking.
No. There's no. I mean, I don't even. I mean, I think I've taken the train subway here like once or twice.
Yeah.
And then same thing, like trains a couple of times, you know, to go to San Diego or Anaheim. But
yeah,
I mean, it's,
I take the subway a lot here.
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I don't even know where it goes. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
No.
Well, it doesn't go to the airport yet, but it goes out to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes about an hour.
Okay.
To get to Santa Monica. But, and it, you know, it goes to Universal Studios and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
So,
but how's that? Is it shady? Town.
It's very shady.
Okay.
This is the thing I have to admit. It is it is horribly rough.
Really?
And I ignored that for a really long time. Because I think it's a tall, male privilege that I have.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with my skin color. I'm not putting skin color in it, but it's just, but as a tall guy, I think I don't look like somebody to fuck with on the subway. So that's a privilege. But I have started trying to look at things from other other height and genders perspective, and that's why I've noticed, oh, it's a shit show on
but
the
what's
subway.
What's it shady about?
There's just a lot of rough people. Like, there was, I saw a fight the other day on the subway, and like the guys had like boxing gloves with them to fight, and they start fucking throwing hammers at each other, and there's a lot of homeless people make that look. And I'm nothing against the homeless people, but it's just when they, but I feel like, you know, that you're making somebody uncomfortable right now, because sometimes they will be. Sometimes if they're, you know,
that was such a guy, like that's typical when somebody like what you just said is like, look, nothing bad about homeless people, but like, you know, they just gotta realize that they make us uncomfortable.
No, but I don't like, mean, what? No, I'm fine with you. No, like, okay.
But what I'm saying is, no, like, it's like typical when people go, like, look, I'm not being racist, but what's the deal? It's like, what?
No, well, I was coming back from Santa Monica. By the way, one great thing about the subway is, like I get this, I live at Hollywood, right? Hollywood and Western Subway.
Yeah.
Gets me into Staples Center, now called crypto.com.
Yeah.
Gets me in there in 25 minutes.
No, that's great. Like,
that's better than any car.
Of course,
In LA traffic, going there, I'm so much fun. And people are still baffled. Like when I went to see Tool there, the band. When I go see bands, or when I go see the Los Angeles Kings or the Los Angeles Clippers, and I always have friends, no matter where they're coming from, they're like, "Do you want us to pick you up or anything?" I'm like, "No, I'll meet you there." And they're like, "You'll meet me there." And if they're American, they're baffled by it.
Yeah,
I'll be like, "Yeah, no, I'll meet you there. I'm just gonna get the subway." Like, are you crazy? Subway? But every other culture, if I have British friends, they're all like, yeah, awesome. Let's get on the subway.
Got
like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
We're there. Boom. Yeah. But my American friends, they all want to drive and park.
They just
have it in their mind.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be a drive and park. But anyway, I was coming back from Santa Monica, just to clarify that I have nothing against the homeless, but it was the behavior of this one homeless guy. Because there was a woman on my train. And it was late. It was probably 11 p.m.
Yeah.
At night when we're coming back. and a homeless guy was slamming on the window and like looking at her and just yelling and barking. Mm. And I had to go over and just go, dude, you know, you can do this somewhere else or whatever, but you're like, yeah, really making a concerted effort to make her uncomfortable right now. And it's obviously working.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have to patrol the subway for situations like that. But that is an example of me going,
so wait, what happened with a guy after you told him that?
Yeah, he walked away. He kept yelling and stuff, but he walked away. But I have had to do that a little too many times.
Really? And the lady said something like, thank you?
She just said thank you. And
yeah.
And I was like, sorry.
Because I thought it was like the beginning of like a romantic comedy, you know? Or like,
I feel horrible.
I'm here to help you. Like, look, did you like that? It's like, what the fuck? I wanted to talk to him. That was my uncle. Like,
I know, but see, this is the terrible thing about this era, because I felt horrible. Could you imagine if, so I break up this guy, there's got to be a kinder word than this homeless guy who's just making her uncomfortable. I get him to leave, but how uncomfortable does she then get if I then go, would you like to go out with me?
Yeah.
She's just going, oh, for fuck's sake. I got one crazy guy yelling at me. Yeah, yeah. And then a crazy guy comes to get him away from me, and the crazy guy asks me out. It's just... Sometimes they need a break. So it wasn't the start of a great romance.
It's hard. It's hard to transfer into that so quick.
Yeah, you can't find a...
A quick one of like, yeah, you know, like right away. It's like, I save you, but hey, do you want to go out?
Yeah, when do you think that era ended? When do you think the era of men comfortably asking women out in public ended? Because it doesn't exist anymore. It's very, like, there's no...
I don't know.
It ended about at the start of social media, didn't it?
I mean, not like in this. Yeah, I mean, not in the start, but I think like later, like a couple of times. Because I mean, I think. Yeah, I don't remember, but for sure. Yeah, I mean, when Instagram started happening and all that stuff. Yeah, because I mean, you would still ask people. Not even like at least when the clubs or whatever, you go out to a club and you're like, hey, you know, you talk to somebody, right? I mean,
yeah.
But I don't know if people do that.
But I don't think that happens anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
Yeah, because since social media, like I can literally think of the women that I've dated who I asked out when I met them.
Yeah.
Met them, had a laugh.
Nothing.
Got along, felt some chemistry.
None of them are like that?
What's that?
None of them are like that?
Anymore.
Ah.
No, I don't think we do that. We can do that anymore, right? Like you had the luxury, your fiance, you went to...
Yeah, same acting class.
You were in the same acting class.
Yeah.
So how much pressure was that when you asked her out?
Well, it was, it was also...
Oh, you asked her over for some acting.
Yeah, no, we were acting, right? And then we started going out because, I mean, like, but I was like, she's got to do the first move. I'm not doing anything here. But also...
This is how contemporary man...
Well, yeah.
See, there's women listening but right also, now going, more, why don't these guys want to make moves anymore?
My thing
My
thing was more because I wanted to, like... I didn't want to be like, hey, I just took the class just to get with girls, you know? Like, I did it because I want to act.
That's,
you know, like,
that's exactly the thing. And then,
but I didn't want to get that thing of like, hey, I'm just, you know,
going. Well, that's what sucks, isn't it? Because as soon as you ask somebody out, it does look like everything you did leading up to that moment was so that you
But it wasn't.
Them.
And the good thing, too, the class, like, canceled. It didn't, because I think if the class would have continued, I don't think I would have, like, kept going out with her, but because the class just ended, then I was like, well, you know, now we're not seeing the same, you know, going back to class. So I was like, so it worked out. It worked out as well. So it's one of those things that you're like, well, if this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the difficulty of the era we're in right now. Because I can think of lots of back in the day, when you feel charming and there's chemistry and you're talking, sometimes a woman will make the excuse to hang out with you more. I had a girlfriend once who, I remember the night that we got together, she made an excuse to stay at my place.
Mm.
And one of my roommates was away at the time, so I made his bed for her and everything, and it was right next to mine. I sorted her all out, and I'm like, there you go, and you're all taken care of. And then in the middle of the night, she came into my room.
Whoa.
And I was like, at least I didn't do it.
What happened?
And then we dated for like 3 months.
But after she came over to your room, like, did she just want to sleep?
A gentleman A gentleman never podcasts and tells. Okay.
Yeah, because you weren't like, did you just yada yada? You didn't even say yada yada yada. I was like, what happened?
If you can't fill in the blanks,
because she could have been like,
point,
she could have just come in and be like, hey, can
by
you?
By the way,
turn
your roommate's bed sucks.
Yeah. Can you turn the AC on? It's kind of hot in here. You're like. And then, but you didn't say anything, so you're like,
I didn't realize you didn't know where I was going.
No, you had to close. It could have been like, you know, a lot of things.
But no, what I was gonna say was then the next day when I drove her home, I realized she only lived like a couple miles. Mm-hmm. Like I could have taken her home that night. Yeah, so I was like, oh, good move by her.
Got it.
But anyway, those days of asking somebody.
Yeah,
out,
no, it's tough. Just, but I think you still need the human factor, man.
Yeah, I would just want to meet somebody in the wild. The dating apps are like, they're worse than blind dates.
Yeah, I don't.
You're
I don't like him.
Vouching for yourself.
It's like, very, yeah. After, very superficial.
Yeah, 30 minutes into these app dates, you're just sitting there going, all right, you've.
Yeah, it's a game. I think we should wrap it up because we've been here a little longer than we
have. Right
had.
On. Well, he's holding it up right now.
Okay, cool.
We're at the 5-0 mark.
Well, I mean, I think it's good that I feel like you're gonna go travel and take a little break. But I think I'm excited for, because I feel like we're kind of like getting, we want to do another live one again, maybe with Bobby Lee.
That would
hopefully
be really exciting,
you know. But I think we're getting more of like the vibe of, you know, especially getting great guests all the time to come, and then. And I feel like we just gotta get that one to hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think like I still told you last week, we've got lots of good content out there too.
Yeah.
We almost need somebody to, you know, you and I are on the road working much, but if, you know, the content's out there. If any of you at home are listening to our podcast, and there is a segment or something you like, feel free to write us. You know, and you know, if you tell us, oh, the, at that 40-minute mark, you know, when you had Jeff Tatum or whatever, that discussion you guys were having, can you clip that out? We're happy to cater to that if any of you guys are listening at home want us. Because outside of that, it's just us looking at
it, of course.
Which takes enough time.
And to
we
share
hate
it,
listening to ourselves.
Word of mouth, too, you know, just to share the everything word of mouth, just to be like, hey, check it out, because especially to for people to listen in, to download it, or go to YouTube and stuff like that, and put comments there, share it, because that's what moves the needle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, any dates that you want to post? You know, we want to promote. I don't know when this is going to come out.
Well, my UK dates are on my Instagram and stuff. And
okay.
So hopefully, this will be my first time doing a tour with social media as well. I'm going to try to be active on stuff.
Which
is I don't know. It's half annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the job.
It is now, isn't it?
Yeah. So, check out JJ's website for future dates. Also, remember to download our podcast, to subscribe to the Instagram and the YouTube and the TikTok, because I'm posting on TikTok now as well. And share as much as you can. Again, if you have any questions, please write us. That'd be awesome. You can DM us privately on the podcast, on the Instagram podcast, and then we'll get back to you.